Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. I'm so glad to be with you wherever you are. If you're new with us, my name is Joe. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I am excited to share this Pentecost Sunday with you. Pentecost is the day that the church was born. Pentecost is the day that God made good on his promise. It was the day that God sent himself, the Holy Spirit, to not only be with us, but to live within us. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about sacred rhythms, about how following Jesus has a rhythm, and it's a slow rhythm. That the rushed and frantic pace of life that we live is incompatible with the kingdom of God. To follow Jesus is really a completely different way to be human. To take up the easy yoke of Jesus and to walk into the new life that he has flung open before us. And this new way of living is spirit-empowered living. Now, you might be thinking, hang on a second, don't go all Pentecostal on me, right? I've got Jesus, why do I need the Holy Spirit? You know, I'm happy to follow Jesus. I get the easy yoke. I get that I got to slow down my life. I get Jesus. But why do I need the Holy Spirit? I'm happy to follow Jesus, but if you're not about to catch me swinging from the chandeliers, rolling around on the ground, or, dare I say it, speaking in tongues, okay? And if that's you, I want you to know I get it. I really do. I grew up in Pentecostal churches and saw my share of weird stuff. I've seen people masquerading as prophets, not under the Spirit's power, but in order to build their own platform. I've seen really well-intentioned people try to manufacture a move of the Spirit by marching around the auditorium of the church or singing the chorus of a song about 700 times in a row. You know, I've been there. And so if you're skeptical, if you're disillusioned, if weird freaks you out, welcome to the club. But can I ask you an honest question this morning? If that is you, can I ask you this one question? And the one question I want to ask you is this. Is that really who you think the Holy Spirit is? Is that really who you think the Holy Spirit is? That he's just weird and crazy? I don't think so. Others of you are in a place where you're welcome. You're just so excited. You're like, Holy Spirit, move. Like, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for a fresh move of God. And you don't even care what it looks like. You're like, if the Holy Spirit is in on it, I will hang up chandeliers from the ceiling so I can swing from them. I don't care what it looks like as long as the Holy Spirit is involved. And friends, if that's you, I really want to commend you. I want to commend your faith. I want to commend your passion. But I also want to ask you a question as well. Is your understanding of the Holy Spirit that he is the God of moments and experiences? That he comes and goes with the goosebumps? And I mean, that's something that we would never say out loud, is it? That's something that we would never admit to. Right? We have too much theology for that. We know that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. But sometimes I think we act like he's only there and only working in moments where we're heightened emotionally. And so this morning, wherever you stand in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, I really believe that God wants to broaden. I really believe that God wants to deepen your relationship with him. I really believe that God has something very special, something very unique in store for us this morning. And I want to know, are you ready? I'm ready. Because here's the thing. We've been talking about apprenticing under Jesus. And I have a news flash for you. To apprentice under Jesus is to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that one more time. To apprentice under Jesus is to be led by the Spirit. They're one in the same. It's not pick one or choose one. It's the same thing. See, in our lives, there is a need for spirit-empowered living. And today, I'm actually not going to go to Acts chapter 2, which is where every good Pentecostal goes on Pentecost Sunday. It's a joke. Lighten up a little bit. I'm actually going to go to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, one of the early leaders in the Christian church, was teaching about what it meant to live a Spirit-empowered life. And so if you've got your Bible with you, it's Galatians 5. We're going to start in verse 16. If you don't, just pop open another browser and you can follow along, or you can follow along on the screen. So verse 16, it says, "So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." And we're going to jump down to verse 19. "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Friends, there is a deep need in our churches for Spirit-empowered living. And when I say that, please understand that when I say our churches, it's not a judgmental blanket statement. It's about us individually and together as individuals. The other word for that is community. So there's a need in my life. There's a need in your life. There's a need for us together to live Spirit-empowered lives. You see, when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, it wasn't about the wind that shook the house. It wasn't about the fire that rested on their heads. It wasn't even about the earthquake or even the tongues. And not to take away from the importance of those things, but they were all signs that pointed to something else. They were all signs that pointed to something completely new, and that was Spirit-empowered living. J.I. Packer, he's not a Pentecostal, so please forgive me for quoting him on Pentecost Sunday. Again, that was a joke. Don't hurt me, please. Anyways, he writes this about the day of Pentecost. He said, "We should see the essence of Pentecost in the fact that at 9:00 in the morning, the Holy Spirit's new covenant ministry began, giving each disciple a clear understanding of Jesus' place in God's plan, a robust sense of identity and authority as Jesus' person in the world, and an unlimited boldness in proclaiming Jesus' power from his throne." Spirit-empowered living. That is the promise of Pentecost. And that promise is extended to you and to me. Friends, there's a desperate need for us to return to a place of being led by the Spirit every single day, every single moment of every day. In his book, Forgotten God, Reversing Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit, Francis Chan writes this: "The world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation. And the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence of their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but take notice." Do you want that? Do you want people to take notice there is something different about you? I know that I do. I want my neighbors and my family members and my friends to see that there is something different about me. And I'm not talking about my weird sense of humor or my awkward disposition. I'm talking about something, or rather someone in me, that they see my life and they say, "Joe has something that I need. I'm missing something. I don't know what it is, and Joe's got it. And I can't put my finger on it, but I know that I need it." Don't you want that in your life? Don't you want the freedom and the joy that comes from being led by the Holy Spirit? Isn't that really what we all want? And so let's talk about how can we be guided by the Spirit every single day of our lives, every single moment. Well, the first step is to follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Again, we read Paul's words, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Have you ever noticed that the older that you get, the more you know what you like and what you don't like? That's a really polite way of saying that we get stuck in our ways, right? We have our favorite restaurants. We have our favorite meal at our favorite restaurants. We have our favorite way of working, our favorite stores, our favorite way of cleaning, our favorite way of relaxing. We just have our way, right? We have our way to do things. And in the same way, we get entrenched in our sinful nature. We get so used to living lives for ourselves that it becomes hard to give up our way for Jesus' way. In the passage that we read, Paul is talking about this war that is waging between us. There's what he calls the flesh, our sinful nature, our desires, us leading ourselves. And it's pulling against the Spirit's way and the Spirit's leading. And there's this war that we seem to be caught in. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. He transforms us from the inside out. You see, he meets us in our entrenched sins. He meets us where we dig in the heels and say, no, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to pick up the easy yoke, but not here. I'm not ready to follow you in this area of my life. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes and he takes us by the hand and he leads us to follow Jesus. He walks with us step by step. In the NIV translation of the passage that I read, instead of saying follow the Spirit, it says keep in step with the Spirit. And I really like that because it's talking about walking side by side. And in an earlier sermon, we talked about the speed of love, and the speed of love is slow. Right? My family loves to go for hikes. It's one of our favorite things to do. When I come home from work, if it's nice and sunny out, we'll go for a hike, or on the weekends after church, we'll go for a hike. You know, we just love to get out there. So we'll drive to a trailhead, and this is what happens every time. I'm driving, because for whatever reason, I'm the one who drives. I'm driving, and I park the car, I take the key out of the ignition, I get out, I go to the back, and I open the door for our kids so they don't smash the car next to us, and we have to deal with ICBC and all that fun stuff. You know, so that they can get out. I go to the back. I open the hatch of our SUV. I pull out the hiking backpack, fill it with the kids' snacks, put it on, close it up. And then I stand there angrily as my wife gets out of the car. It's like, come on, get with the program. What were you doing that entire time? You were just sitting there? I'm ready to go. Like, let's go. We've got things to do, things to see, places to explore. And isn't this how we treat the Holy Spirit? We've got plans, we've got schedules, we've got things to do. Come on, Holy Spirit, catch up already. I can fit you in right here between this and this appointment, right? And this is why hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. In all of our frantic running and rushing, and all of our problem-solving shopping lists and backyard barbecues, we never slow down enough to hear his voice. We're too busy rushing ahead to actually slow down and to allow the Holy Spirit to catch up and speak to us and to prompt us and to lead us. Instead of keeping in step with the spirits, we run off ahead. We don't have time for him in our lives. But we are called to a completely different way of living, the way of the easy yoke. And some of us need to slam on the brakes and just wait for the Holy Spirit to catch up. And this morning, I'm hoping that you will slam on the brakes long enough to allow the Holy Spirit to speak new life into you. To let him lead instead of you leading. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit prompt you? I mean, actually speak directly to you. There is nothing more life-giving. There is nothing more exciting, nothing more confidence-building than that. And he does all the time. But we have to slow down and take the time to listen, to reprioritize what is important in our lives. And when we finally slow down enough to let the Holy Spirit lead, we begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit. That's point number two, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this might be a bit of an odd metaphor for us today, but it's really quite simple. Jesus told his apprentices that people will know who we are based on our fruit. They will know who we are following by our actions, by what we produce, right? You know that a grapevine is a grapevine when there are grapes on it. You know that a peach tree is a peach tree when there are peaches on it, right? You know the tree by its fruit. In the same way, you know our lives by what they produce, by what comes out of our hearts. See, we know that we are led by the Spirit if our lives are evidenced by the Spirit. And Paul gives us a list of what to look for. In Galatians, Paul actually really gives us two lists of fruit, doesn't he? He gives us that first list of fruit that I read, which is really the results of my own selfish living, the results of our own way of doing things. And then in contrast, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is really what we're all seeking and looking for anyways, isn't it? We all need a little bit more love, a little bit more joy, a little bit more peace in our lives. And so Paul gives us this picture of what a life looks like that is led by the Spirit. And like the easy yoke, these fruit aren't forced. They're not awkward. They're not ill-fitting. Rather, they are unforced rhythms of grace. And the consequences of our way of living is self-explanatory. But I want to take a closer look at the fruit of the Spirit this morning. And while I read these out, I want you to ask yourself, how many of these would describe your life, the way that you're living it right now? I'm not talking about your life on a good day. I'm talking about your life on a bad day. Okay? The first is love. The greatest of all virtues and the true mark of the Spirit-empowered life. You know, Paul in another place said that he could have all of the miraculous gifts in the world. He could have all of the gifts, supernatural powers in the universe, but if he didn't have love, it would be completely meaningless and empty. And so love is the true hallmark of a Spirit-empowered life. And then there's joy, that internal strength, that happiness that comes, that contentment that comes, not from external circumstances. It comes with the confidence of knowing who you are in Jesus. Then there's peace. My goodness, we could all use more peace in our lives. These are very anxious times. These are very anxious days. And peace is calm and confidence in the midst of life's storms. It's not dependent on outward circumstances. It's an inward peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. Patience. Oh, patience. How I could use a little bit of this in my life. And this isn't talking about waiting for your wife to get out of the car. This is talking about endurance, about when life feels like a marathon and you just don't know if you can keep going. It's the word long-suffering. And then there's kindness, genuine concern for others. Not just being a nice person, but actually caring about other people and putting their needs before your own. Goodness in action and in the Spirit. Not just being good because it looks good, but being good because it's coming out of the goodness of your heart. Faithfulness, stick-to-itness to God and to others, even when giving up seems so much easier. Gentleness, not attacking or condemning others, not pushing your agenda, but being gentle and calm and allowing other people to speak. And self-control, the ability to abstain from sin, self-mastery, the ability to say, you know what, I'm actually not going to be pulled this way by my own sinful desires. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me in my life. Now, I don't know about you, but I could use some more fruit in my life. I think we all could. And here is the really good news. Sometimes when we read a list like this, we're like, okay, time to get to work. Time to you know, pull myself up by my bootstraps, and I'm going to really, this month, I'm just going to, yeah, we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to happen now, right? And we forget about patience and all that fun stuff. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. And this doesn't mean that we become passive spectators in God's work in our lives, right? That's the same as saying, hey, catch up, Holy Spirit. I'm doing my own thing. I'm living my life. You know, you catch up, and when you get here, just give me the fruit of the Spirit. That'd be awesome. Thank you. No, that's not how God works. Instead, we need to invite him. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. There is a prayer that I pray every single day, and it's this. It says, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to change me however you want today. Now, you might be sitting there and thinking to yourself, you know, Joe, that's a really scary prayer. I don't know if I could pray that. Again, it's only scary if you have a distorted view of who the Holy Spirit is. It's only a scary prayer if you think that the Holy Spirit is going to give you something negative, something cruel, something sadistic. You know, I remember being a kid, and I had the fear, the absolute fear that God was going to send me to the deepest, darkest fields of Saskatchewan. That was about the worst thing I could think about as a teenager. One day, it kind of hit me that why would I think that God was out there just to push my buttons and to make me angry and to stretch me, right? Don't you think that God would change the desires of my heart first? Don't you think that he would walk with me first? So don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. See, there's a great tragedy in our day. And that's that many Christians, their lives don't look any different from anyone else's. There's nothing that sets them apart from the rest of the world other than the fact that they go to church on Sundays. And hear my heart. Again, this isn't a shame thing. That's not helpful. There's no judgment here. There's no condemnation here. But we need to ask ourselves. We need to look inside and be really honest and say, does my life actually look any different than those around me? Am I really allowing the Holy Spirit to transform me, or am I just paying lip service? You know, I don't know about you, but I could use some more love, more patience, more joy and peace in my life. And when we follow the Holy Spirit, we will experience the fruit of the Spirit. And finally, if we are called to Spirit-empowered living every day, then it would make sense that we're not filled with the Holy Spirit only once, but continually. So the third point is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know about you, but I get distracted quite easily. And so when I go to the office, I have a little black book. It's called a productivity planner. And basically what it is it's a glorified checklist, okay? And what it does is it really helps me to know what's important and to prioritize my life. And more than that, when I finish a task, I get that really happy feeling by checking off that mark. You get that feeling of closure, right? Some of you are list people and you're like, yeah, come on, preach it, right? We get that happy little check mark next to the task when it's done, and we feel the sense of completion. And I was thinking, how many of us approach apprenticeship or discipleship with Jesus the same way? Right? We say, okay, get saved. Check. That's done. Get baptized. Check. Did that. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, check. Did that. Go through a discipleship class at church. Check. All right. We've got all our bases covered. Now that all the hard work of discipleship is done and it's out of the way, I can just continue living my life the way that I want, but I'll just try to be a nicer person, right? I'm being a little bit facetious, but am I really, right? How often do we treat discipleship, apprenticeship under Jesus, like tasks to be done instead of a way of living? See, the Christian life isn't about maintaining the status quo. It's about growing, about following, about apprenticing under Jesus. And when we look at the stories of the early church, their Holy Spirit living didn't end on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost kickstarted their Spirit living. They were constantly being filled with the Spirit. When they were down and they were discouraged, they would go into the and they would pray and they would lean into the Holy Spirit and cry out for Him. They were being filled with the Holy Spirit constantly. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't a checkbox. It's actually a way of life. But if we're too hurried and too rushed or too distracted to take even a few moments a day to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me. I need you. We cannot reasonably expect that our lives will look any different than anyone else's. All of our busyness and distractions, I've said it before, they are leading us somewhere. They're leading us where we think we will finally be content and satisfied. But it just isn't true. Instead, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in every area of our lives, not just in an altar call moment, not just in church on Sunday morning, but in every area of our lives, that is when we begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit. When we begin to become overwhelmed with love and with joy and peace. And this doesn't mean that the first time that you're filled with the Holy Spirit isn't important. It's a defining moment. But the thing about a defining moment is that it needs a life to define. Right? If you're thinking that being filled with the Holy Spirit is a checkbox and then you're done and nothing changes, it's simply not true. It's a moment that you can look back as a defining moment and say, you know what, this is when I said, you know what, Jesus, I'm with you 110%. This is when I was empowered to be a witness. This is when I was empowered to live a life that serves and honors and follows Jesus in every single aspect. I want to share with you this morning, if I can, the story of my own personal Pentecost. The first time that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I went with my parents to the special meeting where they were talking about the Holy Spirit and then giving an opportunity to be prayed for after to receive the Holy Spirit. And I went as a young preteen boy, and I remember being super bored the entire time. And then when the keyboard came in, just like that, I really felt like, you know what, I need to respond. I need to be obedient to what God's calling. God says, hey, the baptism of the Holy Spirit's a good thing. You should have it. Maybe I should listen. And so nervous and scared out of my skin as a smelly preteen boy, I walked up to the front, and a couple gentlemen surrounded me, and they laid their hands on me and began to pray. And there was one man who was kind of leading the prayer, and he was praying in tongues, and he said, Joe, just repeat after me. And I remember thinking to myself, I could speak in gibberish anytime I want. There has to be something more to this. And so I kind of just waited for a while, and nothing was really happening. And a few more times he prompted me. He's like, hey, just repeat after me. And so finally things had gotten awkward enough that I just started speaking gibberish. And to this day, I'm still not entirely sure that he wasn't just speaking gibberish either. And I went back to my seat. And I remember even as a child knowing that wasn't it. That wasn't being filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that somehow I'd missed something. But I knew that I needed Jesus. I knew I needed to follow Him. And I knew that I needed to follow the Holy Spirit. And so I continued to seek after Him. If you fast forward a couple of years, I was in youth group. And it was just during worship, and there was no one around me praying for me, and I was just worshiping, and I was just having a great moment with God. And all of a sudden, there was just this joy, this indescribable, this pure, this unbridled joy that just came over me. And it just felt like there was this pressure that was building up inside of my chest. And it wasn't a negative pressure. It wasn't anything bad. It was just joy, exuberance. And I was just so thankful, and I began to worship God. But the problem was I didn't have the words to worship Him. I didn't have the things to say. I didn't have the power to be able to express how I felt. And so I just gave in, and I surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak in a language that I didn't know. And in that moment, it just that there was that release and just even more joy and more love and just more of God. It was pure. It was heavenly. It was a holy moment. When I finally just said, you know what, Holy Spirit, whatever you have for me, it's better than what I think you have for me. It's better than what I have for me. And I surrendered to it. And so you see, the question that we need to be asking this Pentecost Sunday is not, do you have the Holy Spirit? That is not the question we need to be asking. The question that we need to be asking is, does the Holy Spirit have you? Does the Holy Spirit have you? See, today, a lot of Christians know more about the Holy Spirit than the early church ever did. But they don't know Him like they did. And so if apprenticeship under Jesus is about a relationship with Jesus, shouldn't we become acquainted with the Spirit of Jesus? And so this morning, I want to invite you. I want to invite you right now in this holy moment where you're standing at home, where you're sitting at home is holy ground. God created the whole world. You don't need to be in church for this moment. And I want to challenge you, if you're sitting at home and you're saying, you know what, I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. When I look at my life, I don't see the fruit of the Spirit. I need more of Jesus in my life. If that's you, I want to invite you to stand wherever you are, in your bedroom, in your living room, in your back patio. I want to invite you to stand and just put your hands like this as just a symbol of saying, I'm open. I'm open to you, Jesus. I'm surrendering to whatever you have for me. And if you're brave enough, if you want more of God in your life, I invite you to say this prayer with me. And then we're gonna sing, and we're gonna give you an opportunity to wait on the Holy Spirit. So if you're ready, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I give you permission today and every day to change me however you see fit. Let's just take a few moments and wait on the Holy Spirit.